Shalom, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour. I'm Sheila Crawford, and I pray you are enjoying your summer so far while we anxiously watch the end time clock speed along toward his soon return. Hey, a quick reminder, please mark July 5th on your calendar to come to the Chester Christian Center in Chesterland for a PowerPoint presentation and teaching on the Nephilim, evil spirits, and UFO aliens. I hope to answer your many questions on this topic, especially since the secular world is expecting an invasion at any time. You need to be informed. And I believe this knowledge is very evangelistic, so bring your unsaved loved ones as well. That's Friday, July 5th, with more details next Tuesday. The United States has withdrawn our ambassador and closed down the embassy in Egypt due to yet another civil war that is escalating. The people just are not happy with its new Muslim Brotherhood government and are calling for a new leader to replace President Morsi. And they have 15 million signatures in support of their demand. So the Muslim Brotherhood could still stay in power if Morsi is replaced. And that probably will happen, since Morsi portrays an arrogant and more independent attitude, which has made him lose appeal with the Muslim Brotherhood. And Barack Obama, who raved over Morsi a year ago, is now ready to throw him under the bus. As far as Syria goes, due to the supposed use of chemical weapons by Assad, it was decided at the G8 meeting in Ireland 2 weeks ago that now the U.S. and NATO would give military aid to the rebels through Turkey. Now, mind you, we all have already been doing that, but secretly, of course, because we did not have congressional approval. But Turkey has just thrown a curveball and now will not allow any arms to go through its territory to the rebels who are stationed mostly in the northern area of Syria near the border of Turkey. So why did he change? Well, everyone knows Russia got to him and scared the willies out of him. And that's what most are concluding, and President Erdogan himself kind of implied it as well. And we know Putin is probably more of a thug than all the other thugs. Anyhow, Obama is not happy, and because of all this, has just added 300 more of our soldiers to the already 700 on the Syrian-Jordanian border. And will try to get arms through from Jordan now to the rebels. But getting through southern Syria to meet the rebels up in the north will be very difficult. And Jordan fears a civil war spillover into his own country. Oh, and don't forget, Russia and Iran still transport arms and powerful missiles regularly to Assad through Iraq. Meanwhile, Israel, who continues dodging all the stone-throwing, firebombs, and shooting attacks, is once again now having to duck missiles from the Gaza Strip. Yes, Israel has responded by hitting a couple of terror targets, but even so, Netanyahu has agreed to give the Palestinians more concessions, this time freeing 120 more jailed terrorists, which this was all proposed by our new Secretary of State, John Kerry, who claims this will be a kickstart to the peace talks between Israel and the Palestinians. And Kerry is hailing the deal as an historic opportunity. Are you kidding me? Doesn't Kerry know history at all? Whatever is said or sometimes even agreed upon never lasts. And then you just start it all over again. But each time Israel has less land. Praise God, we do know the end of this story, and it will all play out very soon. So continue to proclaim the good news. But saints, how about picking it up a notch? And that ends the news segment of tonight's program. And now, here's John.
Hello. Shalom, Chavrin, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, WHKWradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, the co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford. And you can re-listen later to this show this week on ShofarMinistries.net. And you might want to take some notes today, because we have great insights you will want to remember, for this is Christianity 101. And it's our continuation of last week's program, Sanctification Out to Your Flesh. Today is part two, Basic Discipleship with Exegesis of the Greek Words for Sin. And that's going to be interesting. Abba, thank you for another opportunity to bring the understanding of your word to those who are being sanctified, your bride, those who have chosen you, and those you have chosen. Bless our listeners, and especially the ones who support this ministry. Bless them financially, and we also want to mention those that support us with just prayer, and they probably don't have money, but we just ask you to bless them too, because we really need the prayer. We hold up to you all, everyone who calls us and writes us and sends us an email with a request. Heal those that ask for healing, Lord. Comfort those who weep. Save those who are headed for hell. And we ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if you would like us to visit your church for an evening of study and worship, just tell your pastor or ask him to give us a call at 440-834-9006. We'd love to come out. And just a reminder of our calendar webpage at shofarministries.net, where all our events are posted. Your biblical questions can be mailed to Sheila at shofarministries.net, or you can call Sheila as well and leave a detailed message. And that number is 440-834-9006. And we'll be opening up the lines later in the hour, so you can ask questions or you have a comment on what we're talking about today. And if you like to be included on our newsletter monthly updates, let us know with an email. And once again, you email that to Sheila at shofarministries.net. You don't have the internet? No problem. Just drop Sheila a line to Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And you'll be put on the paper mail. So be sure to write clearly, though, your mailing address and phone number. We really need that written clearly. Any donation to cover what we spend on ink, which is very expensive, paper, postage, and time is very appreciated. Let us know, too, if you'd like to help sponsor this program to stay on the air. And we would love to do a wonderful commercial for you if you would like to do that.
We do a great commercial, don't we, John?
Yes, we do. We have done many in the past, and we'd love to do more. And help
right.
you, help us out, and we help out your business. Now, Sheila, can listeners have a little quick review of what we did last week? Just a
you think?
Short thing. Yeah, let's get back on that track we were last week, because we were really getting
well,
into
it is Christianity 101, and it is so important for new believers to understand that if you really want to be happy, if you really want that joy, that peace, that victory in your life, you need to get sanctified.
Ah.
Okay?
Victory is important.
Victory is important. Of course, we talked about how when we first get saved now, it's through the blood of Jesus, his sacrifice, and that we are made up of spirit, soul, and body. And it's our spirit that is then rejuvenated and justified. And justified means just as if I've never sinned. Our sins have been washed away in the blood. That's our spirit man. So then, if we were to die, got hit by a truck the next day, we would go to heaven.
Ah, hallelujah.
So, but then we must continue to work it out in what Paul calls a race to the finish and keeping the faith, 2 Timothy 4:7. Now, also Luke in Acts 20:24 talks of finishing his race as well, and he talks about doing it with joy.
Hmm.
And then we see Paul again in Corinthians 9:24 talks of how in a regular race, only one person can get the prize if they win. But in a spiritual race, we can all get the prize if one continues. And that prize is...
Yeah, what is that prize?
Total sanctification. And Paul tells us this in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be sanctified. And it's in that order.
Sheila, how do we run this race to total sanctification? Do we have to get special shoes or something?
Well, actually.
Yeah, maybe so.
In the Ephesians 6 thing, you need those feet shod.
Oh, yeah.
Shod,
oh, but, okay.
But actually, Jesus told us in his prayer to the Father, in John 17:17, he said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth.
Is there any other way?
The Bible says there's only one way. And uses the analogy of the water, first with the labor in the tabernacle in the temple, then with the washing of the disciples' feet by Jesus in John 13. And he confirmed it, Paul confirmed again in Ephesians 5:26.
That he might sanctify and cleanse her, the church, with the washing of the water by the word.
That's right.
And so the word is the water.
It's an analogy.
That's how we get washed up.
That's right. Yeah. In the word.
Yes, so that's right. It's not how we get saved. It's how we get that world off of us. You know, you go through the world, you walk through the world, you pick up.
That's right. Somebody tells you the truth, mm-hmm. and you believe the truth, and mm-hmm. that's your girdle of truth.
There you go.
And all the other pieces of armor will not go on unless you have that girdle of truth first.
And this is the armor mentioned in Ephesians, right? We're talking
right.
about
and
the...
we'll might bring that up again in a few minutes,
okay.
but... Everything has a place, and everything is it's like a picture of something else. I mean, analogies, and it's just all there. It's really all there in Scripture.
Hmm.
Let me add another Scripture about this race to total sanctification, and that's in Hebrews 12:1. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance, which also means patience, the race that is set before us. And it goes on to say, by looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Mm. Now, there's a lot there, let me tell you.
Wait. I always read that as by looking to Jesus. Is it actually into
Jesus? The interlinear original says looking into Jesus.
How do you look into Jesus?
Well, he's the Word.
And we're going to be looking into the Word a lot tonight.
That's right, so. Certainly. But I also wanted to mention, too, and this is very important to understand, there's actually three Greek verbs for sin.
Hmm.
Okay? Or words or verbs. I think if they're verbs, I would think. But sin can mean either a pre-born-again state of sin,
uh-huh.
and that's number 266, hamartia. Or it can be 265, hamartima, which means an evil deed, just a regular sin, not habitual, so something we do and we ask for forgiveness right away.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a 264 is hamartano. Now, this is the type of sin where you actually miss the mark habitually, that you kind of like staying in this sin. You're going the wrong way,
mm-hmm.
and you're wandering from the path of uprightness. So I suggest, for those of you that like to study, and I hope most of you do out there, is that you get your Strong's Concordance and you look for the word sin and look every place the sin is used and look what number it is. It's either 264, 265, or 266.
And that's in
and
the
look
New
them
Testament.
Up.
Yes, look
because
them up.
It'll tell you that not, I mean, some. For instance, if you're reading this and you think, okay, the sin that so easily ensnares us. But if you look, it's actually that sin is what we used to do before you were saved.
Oh.
It's number 266, and it's operating in the sin nature. In other words, that sin nature, you're bringing it back, and you don't need to.
That makes it very clear.
That's right. So it is a race to sanctification, and it's to work it out all the way from your spirit into your soul and into your flesh. And we have some more examples of that.
Yeah. Working it out.
Here's Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I wanted to read all this in context, but I have to stop there because you know that I love that scripture.
I know.
Paul says, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We can see when it's approaching. Hello.
You don't want to miss those little things.
That's right.
That's a little thing that's big.
That's right. So now he goes on and says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. And that sin there is Numbers 2:64, hamartano. In other words, if we habitually stay in the same sin or wander from the path of uprightness or going the wrong way, then the sacrifice is doubtful.
Oh, okay. So, wow, if you don't understand that, you could really think that every time you sin, you'd have to get saved again.
I know, and that's what some people actually do at some churches. Hmm. And I've been there. I've seen it. Every week they would go up and get saved again.
Hmm.
You know, because they would sin, because they think that this sin is just an evil deed, which it's not. It would be 2:65 if that was the case.
Hmm. Okay.
But this is the habitual walking away, really, from the Lord.
We're so prone to that. Okay, so, all right, upon salvation, our spirit man, that's the very center, is regenerated and now justified, which is justify, never sinned.
Yes.
And we're bathed in the blood of the Lamb. And we are now looking forward to spending eternity with Jesus. But to really be used of the Lord, sanctification is a must.
Oh, it really is. And you know, again, this is Christianity 101. People, if you're discipling somebody, a new convert, and you haven't explained how important this process is, you're doing them an injustice, truly.
You surely are.
That small measure of faith that we get when we're saved, and it is just a small amount, according to the service that God wants us to fulfill, it's up to us to have that faith grow. That is our responsibility. God gives us the faith, but then we have to increase that faith. And it begins with the girdle of truth, which I've already said is the first piece of armor. And then that needs to be added to.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Romans 10:17 for a second.
Okay.
It says that faith comes from the word. So, more word, more faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is up to us, John.
Yeah, it is our choice.
Right. Do we want to get sanctified? It is our choice to do so. How do we get it? Through the word. When we get sanctified, our faith is growing at the same time.
It's a process.
That's right. So the only way to do that is mindfully choose to put more Jesus in.
Yeah, only one way you can do that, and that's his word, for he is the word.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many more times we can
restate that, and there are many different ways we can restate it, but Jesus is the word is Jesus, and...
But knowing me, I will probably say this forever.
I think so.
Because I am a word person.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Scripture tells us, one more time, in Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing the word of God. Can you tell me, John, what the word hearing really means?
Well, in this context, it means to give an ear to, and it comes from the root word akou, to understand. Right?
That's right. You can't just hear it and just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
It has to penetrate. You have to understand what it's saying. And you might not get that the first time. You might have to read it 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
But wouldn't it be worth it if you understand it?
Yes. Because that's what the faith is going to grow.
If you have to read it 50 times and call 10 people and go to the library.
That's right.
Is it worth it?
Yes.
Okay.
Amen, it is.
Okay, and now we know what Paul meant when he said in Philippians 2:12, now, how do we know that, I'm going to just change the subject a little bit, how do we know that Paul, what he meant in Philippians 2:12, to work out your own salvation? Or
well, you know, that's why it's important to take the Bible wholly, in context.
Okay.
The whole thing.
All right.
You can't just take out one scripture and then say, see, you have to work out, do work, good works to get your salvation.
Well, it sounds to you like it's like, yeah, you have to work your salvation. You know, you just get a gift and then you have to read the instructions and work it. Is that what it's...
No, this is what it means. It means once you have your salvation, you are to work it out through your soul and your flesh to be totally sanctified. Then your salvation is secure.
So it's from inside out that works.
Work it out.
Work it out.
Yes. And actually, that workout means 2716 is the number, and it means to make every effort to do that. It is because it is your choice to do it. And it's through the word, of course.
It's a conscious choice.
That's right. So that salvation, or basically means safety and deliverance, he meant to take our free gift of salvation that occurred in our spirit man, which was once a vacuum but now fits with Jesus, and increase it out to your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, what you do, and keep it going till it reaches your flesh or your body.
Mm. And that's what it means to crucify the flesh.
Amen, it does.
Yeah, and that's the way to do it.
That's right. Okay, so let's just finish this a little bit, and then we'll take a quick break.
Okay.
Basically, you need to be sanctified. And unless we do that, we'll just continue losing spiritual battles. Why? Because our armor, which is Jesus, is not fully on.
Mm-hmm. And a victorious life is to be victorious over our temptations.
That's right, John. And how many times have you seen unvictorious Christians and they feel so defeated? And, you know, they say, oh, I don't know why, I can't do it, blah, 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 blah. And it's only because no one's told them how important it is to stay in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people say, well, how much time is that? Well, the Bible doesn't really say how much time that is. I can only tell you what I think. I know what worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, since the Old Testament saints always tithed everything they could,
mm-hmm.
whatever it was, fruits, vegetables, animals, you know, mm-hmm. everything they could would be tithed.
I think,
and I actually had a teacher some years ago that confirmed this for me, too. She said we should tithe our time in God's Word. I mean, doesn't that make sense?
Well, it does.
That's only 10% of our time.
It's, you know, easy to figure out. If, like, you don't know math, it's easy to figure. That's 2.4 hours.
That's right. An hour in the morning, hour at night, maybe 20 minutes in the afternoon. Yeah. So it can be done. I like to do it all at once, though, because he takes me on little roads, and I don't want to stop in an hour. But the main thing is, it's the Word that's going to sanctify you, and you will know when you're sanctified. There's going to be a huge, you're going to feel His presence so much more. It's going to be like you're in the Holy of Holies 24 hours a day. I mean, you feel His presence more when you're sanctified. I guarantee it. So
that's encouraging.
Yeah. If you don't get sanctified, though, it's just easier to fall into temptation and walk away. I mean, how many people have? I mean, there is.
That's unfortunately, statistically speaking, in revivals and things like where people get, a lot of people get saved and delivered even, they go back and check them. Was it
4%?
4% are the ones that actually kept continuing in it.
Remember the big Brownsville revival?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
4%
a year later, they could only find 4% of the Christians.
Actually walking a Christian walk and living
a
Christian life. And that's why.
Well, it is why, and unfortunately, it's because they weren't really, they would mention the Word,
mm-hmm.
but they really didn't tell them how important it was, and instead they said, you got to be here every night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe you should have been at home studying.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when they said that, and I was there, and I thought, oh, no, that's not true. They need to be in their Word. Of course, I was just a little voice at that time.
Well, and, you know, I think the statistics bear out what you're saying, Sheila.
I know. It does.
Yeah.
But in Ephesians 6, the armor of God, we see the helmet of salvation isn't until number 5. Now, people say, well, when I pray it on, I pray it first. No, God is the God of order, and it's number 5. What does that mean? Because that's when your salvation is secure. You've walked through, or I should say you're treading through, mm-hmm. getting all your armor on, being in the Word of God, and then finally you're going to say, you know what? I know I have the confidence of salvation. And you will. And that's where the enemy cannot shoot his arrows towards your mind and give you temptations anymore in that area.
Mm-hmm.
You have the helmet on now. It protects your mind. You have the mind of Christ.
Well, yeah, and you have this understanding, too, of verses like we read earlier, like in Hebrews, that says, you know, there remains no sacrifice for sins, and people believe that, well, that means we're not saved, or, you know, I'm going to hell now, and you're a Christian. It does not mean that. But see, if you're in the Word, if you're putting on the belt of truth the first thing, leaving it on, and going through these steps, you're going to understand these verses, and they're not going to throw you for a loop.
That's right.
I know a lot of agony has been spent over that verse by a lot of Christians.
I know it. But again, in Ephesians 6, we see first the girdle of truth, and you stay in the Word, you automatically get His righteousness, and then you're prepared finally to start running that race. Then you get the shield of faith, and then you get the helmet of salvation. And then, of course, you use your sword to fight the enemy, because you know the Word by now.
Mm-hmm.
And then 7 is actually... Now, it's the prayer that's last. And again, it's that the holy place where that prayer is the incense, and it's just before you walk into the Holy of Holies.
So this follows an order.
It follows an order. Prayer is just before you get into the Holy of Holies. If you just pray this on, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't come. What do you think? It comes off at nighttime. It's not supposed to.
We're supposed to sleep in that armor. Yeah.
That's right. All right, John, we have to take a quick break.
Yes, we're going to do that. And I think we have I just want to mention a few things before we take that break. Shofar Ministries is a 501c3, and any and all donations are tax deductible, and they're very important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry.
Yes.
And you can use PayPal on our website or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. Any and all donations will automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter list, so include your email address as well, if you have one. And be sure to check out the webpage, and you'll see that all our newsletters and previous radio shows are archived. Plus, DVD teachings are also available, and they make a great gift. So stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We'll be right back after a short break and a great song by Laura Fedor called Operator.
Operator.
Give me Jesus on the line. Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That great song you just heard is by Laura Fedor, and I think it was her dad playing.
Gabe.
Mm-hmm. Gabe playing on that with a brilliant lead guitar piece there.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to contact her? Just go to laurafedor.com.
That's it.
And she's quite the girl. Got to tell you that. Hey, just a reminder: the lines are open now, and the numbers for your end time question about sanctification is. 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD, 9673. And another thing, if you want to be on our mailing list, just send your request to Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net or use the snail mail if you don't have the internet. Send your address, write it clearly, to Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And if possible, do tuck in a love offering to help us stay on the air. That's the hard thing to do. And let's get back to our subject, sanctification. It's not a mystery just for your pastor or the clergy. This is for you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Everybody needs to be sanctified. I'm talking to you out there.
You need to understand what it is.
Yeah. And again, it helps you not to choose sin. You know, we are not coerced into sin. We're tempted, but we're not coerced. We ourselves make the decision to choose to sin. And the first half, we talked about the three definitions for the three Greek verbs for sin.
Mm-hmm.
So read the scripture to me,
John, and let's see what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, Christians are not without sin. And it says this in 1 John 2:1. I write to you, Christian, that you may not sin.
All right. Mm-hmm. But the definition for that particular sin is number 264.
Okay, and that was what? Now, see, I've forgotten already. Okay. I should have wrote it down. I didn't have my pencil on my paper.
Hemartano.
Mm-hmm.
And this sin means to wander from the path of righteousness.
Okay.
It doesn't say that you're never going to sin hamartima, which means just an evil deed.
Mm.
He's saying, I write to you that you will not wander from the path of righteousness by continuing in a habitual sin. That's what he's saying.
Important. Okay. Very important.
I mean, it is important. Otherwise, you read that and you go, oh, well, I write to you, they may not sin. Is he never sinned or what? You know,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to say that, but
I would like to, too, but I definitely cannot say that.
No, but your flesh fights against your spirit, man.
Well, so does yours.
Yeah, there's a war going on there.
Yeah. You better believe it.
Yeah, so then you have your soul, which is your mind and will and emotions, and it's kind of like confused. Well, which way do I go? Do I follow my flesh or do I follow my spirit? Well, it's going to follow whatever one is more powerful.
In other words, the one that's fed the most.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you feed your spirit, he becomes larger and therefore in control.
Isn't it, Sheila, isn't that simple? I mean, it sounds so simple.
It really is simple.
You know, it's for
us
simple-minded people, yeah. We'll let our study books and our Bible and our reference books help us.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit, of course.
I want to bring up this scripture, too, and I think we did this last week, but Hebrews 10:38-39, it says, now the just shall live by faith. But if anybody withdraws, and I'm just going to go ahead and use the Strong's, if anybody withdraws from that faith, my soul, God's saying, has no pleasure in him, naturally.
Hmm.
But we are not of those who withdraw or apostatize to destruction, but of those who believe to the saving, now here it comes, of the soul.
Who believe to the saving of the soul. Now that sounds like it's in a tense that indicates it's a process that's going on.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the spirit he's saying here.
Oh, no, it's to the saving of the soul.
Which is that sanctification process that goes from your spirit to your soul.
So now we know that's true. Spirit to the soul?
That's
so cool.
I know it is.
And the other thing is cool
and
is
we miss that kind of stuff in casual reading.
And also we miss something like, my soul has no pleasure in him, which pretty much implies that God has a soul.
I know.
Which pretty much implies that God became a man and came to earth and died here for our sin that we might go to heaven. Right?
Not only that, what does the scripture mean when he says, let's make man in our image?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe
we're like
something
him?
Going on there.
We're there. Uh-huh. Now,
Another day for that one.
That's a whole nother program, right? Now, are there more scriptures on sanctification? You said you'd have some more.
Thank you for asking, John. Yeah, let's look at Hebrews 2:11.
Mm-hmm.
For both he who sanctifies, and we know that's a capital H, and those who are being sanctified. What does that tell you?
That verb tense indicates that it's something that's a process.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified. I don't see how anybody could argue with me that we have a process after we're saved to get sanctified.
See, this really is for us.
Oh,
this
is
for you to get saved. This is for you, baby Christian.
And I'm amazed at how many people don't really know this. So let's do another one. Hebrews 10:14.
Mm-hmm. 10:14. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified.
There it is again. Wow.
Well,
Galatians 4:19 says, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." Now, he was talking to the Galatians.
Mm.
They were saved.
Mm-hmm.
But Christ hadn't been formed spirit, soul, and body yet.
Ah.
And he's saying, you're taking too long. Let's get the show on the road. Really, that's what he had already said. He goes, oh, my goodness.
Where have you been? Yeah. So what else? He says, Galatians 5:16-17, I say then, walk in the Spirit.
Walk. How do you walk?
Well,
your flesh.
Yeah. And you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
That's right.
And it says right here, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh.
It does. There's that war.
There's a war going on. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish.
That's right.
And then verse 24.
You want to be good, but
right.
You can't.
Right. And in verse 24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So,
and those who are, like, have Christ totally, body, soul, and spirit.
Spirit.
Holy,
are
sanctified, W-H-O-L-Y.
Yeah. So you're holy, and you're going to go H-O-L-Y. You're holy,
right.
Too, right?
Well, in God's eyes, you are, yeah.
Yeah. And Galatians 5, oh, I'm not supposed to say this, but you gave me the scripture to read. I'm going to read it. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
Absolutely. Right.
Galatians 5:25.
So in other words, when our spirit gets saved, let our flesh get saved as well.
That's right. And that's because our flesh fights our being in the Word. And I think that's pretty amazing. Our flesh will fight us when we try to get into the Word. Our flesh actually fights that.
Yes, that's right. We cannot really walk in the Spirit unless we're totally sanctified. And, of course, that goes hand in hand with having all our armor on.
So, Sheila, what you're saying, excuse me, is you cannot pray this armor on, right?
No. Yeah. And I'm sorry to say that. I know a lot of Christians do get up every morning and pray the armor of God on. But, no, it should never come off. We need our armor on 24/7. And
well,
it doesn't come on with prayer. It comes on with the Word.
With the Word. That's so clear now. And, Sheila, we do have a little time left. Can you elaborate on what you said about the typology of Jesus washing the disciples' feet? That is so cool.
Oh, well, it is so cool. And again, you have to go back somewhat to the tabernacle temple, where there was only one gate, one entrance into the outer court.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that had to be done is the sacrifice. And it's a picture of Jesus sacrificing himself. Without that girdle, that's really what the basis is. You can't, if you don't believe that, you can't go any further.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then after the brazen altar, after the sacrifice, you have to wash in the water. And that washing in the water is a picture of the Word of God, according to Ephesians 5:26. So in John 13, after the Passover Seder meal of the Lamb, which is a picture of the sacrifice of the Lamb, which he was going to be doing the next day, he said the disciples had to be washed or they could have no part of Jesus. And that meant they could not share or have fellowship with him, and that they would be useless if they remained, let's say, in the outer court and never washed in the water, because if they don't wash in the water, they couldn't get into the next space, which is
the
holy
place.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So they had to progress. And again, it's that order. So finally, when Peter realized what was going on, he asked Jesus, well, wash my hands too. And we see in verse 10 that Jesus says, well, once our spirit man is bathed, and he changes the word to bathe, by the way.
Oh.
And I believe, to me, I read it as bathed in his blood of the sacrifice. We only need then to wash in the water of the Word. And again, that's what's going to get us to sanctification.
Hmm.
He also instructs in verse 14 of John 13 that we should wash each other's feet. What do you think that means, John?
Well, I don't really think it means literally taking off your shoes and having your friend wash your feet.
I mean, you can. That's
you
a sermon. You want to do it, fine.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't either. But
but actually, I think it means
there's a deeper meaning here.
There's a deeper meaning here, and it's to share Scripture truths with one another.
And isn't that what we're doing today?
Yeah. Hey, get the memo out, you know. Do you have friends that don't know what sanctification is? Share it with them.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. You really need to.
I know.
Okay, another point to mention is in verse 4 and 5 of chapter 13, and that is actually the towel that he used to wipe them was with the white linen of the same kind that was around the tabernacle in the desert And it's the same kind as the swaddling cloths that he was wrapped in at birth.
Hmm.
What's interesting is that we're going to see in the Gospel of John how he proceeds to begin at the beginning of one's salvation and continue on through sanctification. And we'll see here after chapter 13, actually in the next three chapters, he continues to teach his truth. And what is really interesting is, again, typologically, we see him entering into the next area of the tabernacle and praying to his Father in chapter 17, which is, of course, a most extraordinary conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And closing out the book of John or Gospel of John, we see him ascending to the Father, which is like the Holy of Holies. And it's just absolutely amazing. But
what we're what you're saying is, you know, we're seeing Jesus go through the same process that we're going through right behind him. And so the entire book of John has to be a type of your personal journey as a Christian through the life of Christ. I really, this kind of, this is what it really means to follow Christ.
That's right.
Another meaning, it could be the other ones too, using the picture of the tabernacle, which of course is so Hebraic.
I'd like to maybe just go over that one more time for people so they see it.
Okay.
Okay, I'll try to explain it a little better. You take the Gospel of John, and by the way, that's the book that everybody says new Christians should read. And I'll tell you what, once you start getting in a little deeper, you could spend your whole lifetime in the book of John. I mean, that's how great it is. But in the very first 12 chapters, okay, now let's look at the tabernacle. We have the outer court, the holy place, and the Holy of Holies.
You forgot the door.
And the gate, of course. You have to get in the gate.
And there's only one gate,
right.
One of those.
Can't get in
any other way.
That's right. So in the first 12 chapters of John, we see our Lord's birth and ministry on earth to which all the Jews are admitted. You see, all the Jews could go into the outer court. They couldn't all go into the holy place, but they could all get into holy courts, in the outer courts, excuse me. And so we see the first 12 chapters of John in that outer court.
Hmm.
Okay? So typologically, that would be in the first part of the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he is called the Lamb of God. In the first 12 chapters, he's called the Lamb of God who take away the sins of the world, fulfilling the sacrifice on this brazen altar still in the outer court.
Hmm.
I mean, it's quite remarkable when you see this.
Well, God is a God of order, right?
He is. And then it continues on to the laver, and it begins with Jesus getting his disciples ready for ministry by the washing of the feet example that we just talked about.
Or like the laver.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That was the last thing that you had to do before you went to the holy place, or went into the holy place.
You had to wash.
Had to wash.
In the water,
mm-hmm.
which Ephesians 5:26 says is a type of the word.
Ah.
Okay?
So clear.
So clear.
Mm-hmm.
And then he continues teaching them his word, and it's in these chapters that he reveals the Holy Spirit who will come to them to help teach them his word. Then they will soon be ready to enter the next phase of discipleship after his death.
Hmm.
And in chapter 17, we see Jesus, actually to me, he's entering the holy place of prayer, because that is such a fantastic prayer to the Father. And that's where his incense is being burned.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, after his death, in the closing of John's Gospel, he will enter into the real Holy of Holies as he ascends into heaven. And he sits next to his Father. Gospel of John is truly awesome.
It is.
I mean, it's more than that.
And it's so nice to see it corresponding and being in the same context as the whole message, basically, of the New Testament, as well as the tabernacle.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you can just, it, the more you study this,
mm-hmm.
the more you will see how this falls into place.
That's
and
right.
The more you'll see, you'll need to be sanctified.
Well, that's it, John, because you will see more. You'll have more of the Holy Spirit grown inside of you,
right.
And he will reveal more things to you. You just can't stay in the outer court. You just can't stay saved and never getting sanctified. You're missing so many good blessings of what it really means to be saved. what it really means to walk the walk and know that you're going to heaven. They have that confidence that you're saved. And I'll tell you what, that is just awesome.
It is. It is. We work out our salvation.
We do. Oh, we have 4 minutes.
Four minutes. Let's repeat that one more time so people get it. Yes. Sanctification is actually the working out of what was born in your spirit, your salvation, into the next thing, which is your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And when the soul becomes saturated,
your soul is?
Your mind, will, and emotions, right?
Right. And what we end up doing.
And then that's what we end up doing in the flesh. And the flesh will do what the soul's doing, right? Well, if the soul's doing what the spirit's doing, you're walking that walk.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so cool.
Does that mean that we'll never make a little error or do a sin? Of course we will.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, because otherwise we'd be perfect and we would be Jesus Christ, and we're not there yet.
We're not there yet, yeah.
Again, look up those words for sin. When you read every time you read a verse that has the word sin in it, look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what sin they're talking about, either pre-salvation or after salvation. That's huge.
It is huge. And you don't have to be a Greek scholar either. You just have to go down to the store and get a Strong's Concordance or find it on the Internet.
Oh, I know. And you know what? God has kept the price really low. You can get a Strong's $20
area. Is it still $20?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Wow. That's great. Well, if you've never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, or maybe you're concerned that you might be one of those that just have the head knowledge and not really the heart conviction, all you have to do is get on your knees. Get on your knees right now and repent.
I want to add, individual sins, that sin that's really individually yours,
mm-hmm.
that you put a claim to, you've got to repent for that because that's a form of deliverance.
Yes, that is. And now, once you've done that, commit or recommit, as the case may be, your life to Yeshua, that's Jesus, the Messiah of all. But always remember, it's your choice to choose him, thereby making it your decision where you want to spend eternity or your decision whether you want to be sanctified or not.
That's right. Our lives are choices.
That is right. And we were put on this earth for one reason, and that was God wanted to see what we would choose, just like he wanted to see what Adam and Eve would choose in the garden.
Mm-hmm. That's why he gave him a choice.
That's why he gave him a choice. He wants you to choose his son.
Why he keeps the enemy around, so that we have that choice.
Yes, that's right. And that's... That and what that says is, you know, God really doesn't send you to hell. You know, he doesn't send anyone to hell.
We
kind of like choose to go there ourselves.
Yeah.
So you decide. And remember, that soul never dies. It's eternal. It has to go somewhere. There's only two places, with God or Satan. Hope you're praying right now. We pray that that's your prayer and that you receive Jesus as your Savior tonight. Before the world gets any worse, before anything else happens, don't put it off. Do you have a question for Sheila, or if you would like her to speak at your church or group? And I'll tag along with her, maybe. You just email her at Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net or just call the office, 440-834-9006. We're going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yevarechacha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Join us again. Till then, Shalom, Shalom, Jerusalem.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford at the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.